The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Bahamar, City of Hope, Prince Masters, RF Banking Trust, Southwest Plaza, and Star General. Insurance made simple. If you feel like the same road, you should...
Stand, won't you please let me in? And you said, I will tomorrow. Jesus said, I am He who supplies all your needs. And you said, I know, but tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'll give my life tomorrow. I thought about today, but it's so much easier to say tomorrow. Who promised you tomorrow? Better choose the Lord today, for tomorrow. I stand, won't you please take my hand? And you say, I will tomorrow. Jesus said, I am He who supplies all your needs. And you say, I know, but tomorrow.
Welcome. Welcome to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this strange Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call on the show today, the numbers are 323-6232. or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. Tomorrow, that elusive tomorrow, all the things that we tend to say, I'll get it done tomorrow. I'll get it done tomorrow. Always believe in there's tomorrow. Tomorrow. We have tomorrow. As the Winer says in that song, and forget that it's a religious song. Forget that it's a Christian-centered song. Just think about something good that you would want for tomorrow, want to happen for tomorrow, want to do for tomorrow. Just think about that. Forget getting caught up in whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ or not, right? But the message of the song is me nor you. And you can be a good person, and you can be a not so good person. Tomorrow is unpromised. That's reality. And of course, I say this in the context of two losses of people I know very well, you know very well. I met Vaughn Miller when he still worked at ZNS as a DJ in those days. I mean, just a passionate, motivational, gentle, gracious, kind, Family Island spirit kind of DJ. And I remember a couple of occasions when which we journeyed together to the place of his birth, right there in Windermere. And we traveled up Nan Eleuthera, and same human being I met then, giant in physical stature, but just a gentleman. I always felt he had a kind of like he had a kind of Malcolm X kind of demeanor to me, like just a gentleman with serious convictions about his faith, about what he believed, about his family. And all through the years that I had come to know him, same thing. Nothing changed. Same thing. I'm talking about my interactions with him, not yours, not somebody else's. I'm talking about my interactions with him. And full of life. Full of life, man. I mean, that's what I saw. Gracious gentleman. Right? Gracious gentleman. I don't know what... I don't know, this politics is not something that matters to me in the moment, whatever the politics of his life was. I'm talking about that person and what he projected. If there's somebody who wants to give testimony to their faith, to what they believe in, he gave it visibly, profoundly, consistently. My observation, not yours. And to wake up and see a note, a picture, a photo that he is gone. Who would have thunk it? Who would have? Your tomorrow could very well begin today. No one has ever ran fast enough to catch up with tomorrow. No one. Every time somebody has entered tomorrow, it was today. Every time. Every time they got into tomorrow, it was today, and then tomorrow was the day ahead. Every time. You can't back up fast enough to get into your yesterday, and you can't run fast enough to get into tomorrow. Every time you get there, it's today. So today is all that really, really matters. All that really matters. Anything you could hope to do, you could only hope to do today. Sit. Anything. You do it today. You make investments in it today. You make progress toward it today. Our deepest condolences to his wife, and child, and family, and friends, and associates, and colleagues. Deepest condolences. And then I say that honestly, with a clear notion, though, if his faith meant anything, his is a body in which his spirit is absent, but present with the Lord, according to Paul, the apostle. For to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And if that is the price we pay for dying, what a wonderful, wonderful price. Of course you miss your people. Of course you don't want them to go. Of course, you don't. You'd want them to go in not so surprising way. You'd want them to go in their older age, but we don't get to choose it all the time. We don't get to say how, when. We just go, and it is as it is. But I'm grateful for the friendship and the interactions and for his testimony. Them that die in the Lord, not may he rest in peace. He will rest in peace, because that is as it is. And then I get yet another text. McSweeney puts us away. Now, why do I know Keith McSweeney? Old family friend. Through my eldest sister, and then my mother and our family, we interacted many, many times over the course of my lifetime as a boy and then as an adult. Keith, as can be said by so many people, prepared the body of my sister, Vernique, for burial, my brothers for burial, my mother for burial, just last year, September. Constant figure. All the times in which we have had these intense grievings in our family, our immediate family. And so to his wife and children, I express again final condolences on his passing. His wife, a staple in the Grand Bahama Port Authority at one point in this community of Grand Bahama. Again, tomorrow, you know, tomorrow could very well begin today. I don't know about, when you're younger, mortality is not a present consideration, and maybe it shouldn't be. When you're younger, you hardly think about it. You feel almost immortal. As you get older, and sometimes as your body starts to do things, that vulnerable you are to disease and injury and stuff. You think about it more and more. I think about it, but not in a morbid sense. Not at all. Not in a morbid sense. Think about it in a preparatory, transitory sense, in which what I have to do here, I have to be about here. Inclusive of the opportunities and occasions you take in the moment to be as gracious and as kind as you can as firm sometimes as you need be. Always trying to do what you believe to be the right thing. Not always achieving it, not always succeeding in it, but repenting or correcting when you don't. Because the only time you have to do anything is right now. Right now. No tomorrow. There are none. It's not assured. And when you get there, it'll be another today. And there are other people who are past, and other families who are grieving. These are the ones we know very well. They happen to be more public than not. To all of you out there who are in your moment of grief and sorrow and great sadness, look up. Look in. Look for the light. And you'll be all right. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing. Any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards, you name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas, Air, the Athlete's Foot, NBTC, Games and More, John Bullfine Threads, Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza. What a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza. Stop by today and explore.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity. We're good for you.
John's Shoes and Accessories September sale has begun, and you don't want to miss out on the greatest savings event of the year. 25% off items for men, women, and children, including appliances. 15% off brands like Timberland. Don't forget John's Care Wear for 25% off nursing, hospitality, and chef uniforms, as well as John's Fashion for 25% off women's fashion clothing. Shop big savings with John's Palmdale or Carmichael Road from now until September 30th. We put fashion at your feet.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Well, Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this somewhat daunting Monday. Any reasons? Texas, hi, Shivago. Given all these events recently, what do you believe that God is trying to say to us as a people? That's an interesting question for sure. Let me see. There's a text here I wanted to read. You know, I really never pretend that these days at all that I can say what God is trying to say. I can't really say that the events that are happening are creating some in particular specialness about these times. Because I think we can point to periods in history where even more morbid, tragic things have happened with great unrest and exaltation of wickedness and so forth. So I don't know that these are about as much as they may be about what we are doing. And maybe what we need to do. I'm also not certain sometimes if even the way I feel about life or observe it might be a function of my own aging and experience and so forth. So I think God is articulate enough to speak for himself for those people who believe in him. Those people who don't believe in him, I ain't talking to you. You can do what you got to do. But I think God can speak for himself. I think he is not inarticulate. I think there's a discerning we can do, but we have to be able to be guided by a certain set of rules when we are discerning, so that we're not presumptuous about things. But I don't have to perceive any specialness about these times to know that there's just some things we ought to be about, right? Each of us ought to be about the business of growing into the best self we can be, right? Now, for the Judeo-Christian believer, that best self is fashioning yourself. Your Bible tells you that he gave some pastors and teachers, some evangelists and some prophets. Why? For the perfecting of the body, right? Perfecting of the saints, and until we all come into the fullness of the likeness of Christ. So Christ is the model in terms of growing into, to be that kind of person. What kind of person we'll see? Someone who loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and body, loved his neighbor as himself. Somebody who was passionate about doing the will of God. I do nothing of myself, said Jesus, but what I see the Father do, that do I. Now, I mean, Jesus was unique and had a unique relationship with God, but to the extent we can, in our mindset, embrace that pursuit, I think that that's the best we can be about. Now, if you believe in something else, whoever your model is, I hope to God that the person is noble and dignified and, you know, considerate and all that kind of stuff. You model after that. If Jesus ain't it, if Jesus ain't him in the person, you, whoever that is. I hope it ain't nobody wicked, stupid, and idiotic, but if you find some other good soul that you say, this is my model, then we ought to be about the business of growing into our best selves. And we ought to be about the business of realizing our potential as clever, noble things we can do while we are here to thrive as people. And then to make our contribution to our community, right? None of us should be on this planet thinking only about ourselves. That's in you. That's a small. When yourself is your biggest aim, you and I live nasty, mean, oftentimes terrible lives insofar as the treatment of other people are concerned. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying insofar as other people are concerned, that's the extreme that we can go to. And when we don't help to create better for our communities, you know, when we do, then we tend to make the place a better place. And we are always better off if we're making the place where we are better off. That's really so you can be about all of that and not have to know what the specialness is about these times or in quote what God is saying. I listen, the universe has billions of galaxies. Do you hear me? Billions of galaxies. And every galaxy has billions of stars. Do you hear me? And most of those stars are larger and further away from us, not almost all, than the sun. And you know how massive the sun is. But it is one tiny of multiple billions of stars just in our galaxy. And we have billions of galaxies. And we presume to be able to speak for the God that created all of that as if it's no big problem. No, it's an easy thing to do. I'm sorry, I'm not that presumptuous. Not anymore in my life. I'm not saying God don't speak to people and so forth. But boy, let me tell you something. You speak for God. You better know what you're doing. Most of us, I would dare say none of us, would dare to go around saying, well, you know, the prime minister told me to tell you if the prime minister did not. We wouldn't do it. But we would go around telling you, the Lord said. I'm just a little more careful about that in my lifetime. So whatever's going on, I do see things unfolding in ways that Jesus in the Bible predicted and the scriptures predicted. Man's heart will fail them for fear. That the hearts of men will wax cold. Right? Men become lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. So I see some things unfolding that were told to us. And that's why I'm not stunned. I'm not shocked. The rise of leaders in places and spaces where they are acting in ways that we are find far above normal. I'm not surprised. You read the book of Revelations. The dragon and the beast have followers. Many kings, presidents who follow, have been seduced by Babylon, that great harlot. That's talking about a country. You hear me? Whose trade routes and all these kinds of things are in the end going to be mashed right up. But that's talking about a country. And that harlot, but Babylon, all kinds suckled at her breast, taken in by her riches. Yeah. Anyway, I am in a location in Freeport. So what I'm going to describe for you is what is happening in that location, which is in the Mayfield Park, Freeport proper area. So I'm not talking to you about what's happening in the East Grand Bahama and the West Grand Bahama. I haven't heard much news from those areas yet, but the wind, for the most part, the weather has been subdued. For the most part. The rain has been subdued. It, you know, we had like some heavy rains, but it didn't last long. The winds have just begun to pick up some. Like I'm right now looking at coconut trees and they're swaying, but not with any fury, you know. So I don't know what levels of flooding exist anywhere else. Nothing is flooding where I am. No water is settled on the ground where I am. But it seems like the wind is picking up a bit. The streets are quiet, not lots of people on the road. So the wind is in and out, you know, in and out. But nothing really dramatic where I am. I have to say that because, you know, people can, yeah, but you tell the people X, Y, and Z and blah, 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 blah. I'm talking about where I am. But I hope everybody remains safe. I've seen lots of flooding in Abaco, in New Providence, in places. Lots of flooding, you know. So I hope everybody's okay. I'm doing okay. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
This October, Bahama invites you to indulge your senses at the Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors can be in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Daniel Boulud, Marcus Samuelson, Dario Cicchini, and Simeon Hall Jr., alongside a vibrant lineup of Bahamian chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. And don't miss an electrifying live performance by global superstar Lenny Kravitz, headlining the festival's welcome party on Friday, October 24th, with a concert experience you won't forget. This is more than a festival, it's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage. Bahamar, life spectacular.
In the face of a storm, it's not just buildings that get tested. It's all of us. Insurance isn't just about repair. It's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands in all seasons.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful and difficult, so many, Monday afternoon. Yeah. The Honorable Vaughn Miller was 64 years old. 64 years old. He had won a seat in Parliament for the first time in 2017 when he the Free National Movement as a candidate under the leadership of Dr. Hubert Minnis. He was appointed a parliamentary secretary. Eventually, he would come to disagree with Dr. Minnis on some policy matters and decided to vote against an initiative, a VAT increase, at which point he was sacked and eventually cast his lot with the Progressive Liberal Party. And in 2021, under the leadership of Ray Davis, he retained his seat and was appointed a minister responsible for the environment, consistent with his advocacy about natural resources and the environment. And he had recently determined not to run again and test for a seat. And so would have been making his exit from elected parliamentary office. The cause of his death is unknown, as far as I know. And he will be a sitting minister, having passed away in office. This will be the second in the Brave Davis term. I don't believe that such a thing has ever happened in the history of our country, where two cabinet ministers in the same administration passed away. Two portfolio cabinet ministers at that. So his will be an officially observed state funeral, I believe, or state recognized funeral. And what a turn. Stex says, good afternoon. Not the best news on the heels of my sister's funeral. My deep condolences. I did not know. So I knew both men personally and professionally. Truly a surreal day. Yeah. Yeah, that's the way I saw it. And, you know, I mean, masses are helpless. Like, we can't reverse it. We can. Maybe the power of God can, but we can't on our own do so. And so we have to deal with it. We have to cope with it. We have to spend the time emotionally healing from it, even if the hurt and pain of it lingers for a long time, maybe for a lifetime. But it can often be a cause for great reflection on our own lives and how we are conducting them. You know? I think guilt has its place, but not toward paralysis. Guilt is a kind of teacher that says, are you doing what you ought to? Are you participating in your community as you ought to? So when guilt turns to shame, that's about the how your community perceives your behavior. And how you perceive how your community perceives your behavior, that's shame. That's intended to rectify situations. It's not intended to have and live, as so many of us can make people do, live with shame for the rest of their lives. It's absolute nonsense. Shame is supposed to be there so that the community helps somebody to correct their ways and recover for re-entry into the community in the fullest way. One example of that, the so-called prodigal son. He wasn't made to drag himself in the mud forever, trying to give penance, etc. He was, but a robe was put around his, as long as he had, but he had changed his ways. That's the thing. He had come to his senses. And so when people do wrong in our communities, but come to their senses, we're supposed to embrace them so that they don't live in shame anymore. They live as members of the community. So that's the purpose of shame. Guilt is supposed to do what shame does, but for on the individual level. Guilt is supposed to say, you know, you need to correct your ways, right? You know you need to do this differently, right? And so that we turn around and then live differently, better lives. So that's the nature and the reason for guilt. Right. And so these moments that happen can cause us to reflect on our development, on our growth, on our eventual passing and what it will mean to our time here on the planet. Now, people will tell your story for you and based on what they perceive. Don't worry about that. You can live in a way where you're hoping that story is told in a wonderful way, but you cannot control that. You walk around the corner, somebody say, boy, that's a nice guy. You walk around another corner, they say, him, he ain't nothing but a dog. It's what you can do. Oh, she is such a wonderful person inside. God, oh, child, she is the worst. You can't do nothing about that. But what you can do is have a standard and a high standard and strive to live that high standard and let your conscience be at peace with your God, whoever you choose him to be. I hope he's a good God. I hope. That's all you could do. And lay your head down and know that what the only thing that would ultimately matter is how your God perceives your living. And we walking around this planet all day trying to flex for people. Trying to make people look at us and say, oh, you're such a. And then when we go home, we're different human beings than that. No, man. No. I mean, all of us have things we've done. We ain't trying to tell nobody. Right? I understand that. Right? But if you own that and you own your change and repentance from that, that's fine. And if you want to share it with somebody because you think it might help them, go right ahead. That's not the point. The point is don't be trying to fake out there one thing for them while you at home faking something else. Huh? Don't do that. Of course, we all put on a professional posture in environments of strangers, etc. And because that's part of our living as well. We are to act professionally. So when we're at home, we relax, we're a little more at ease, and so forth, so forth. I'm not talking about the professional posture you may take on because this is required in your workspace, in your charities or civic groupings where you professionally. But don't be treating everybody nice outside your house, and then when you go home, your children think you're a rogue. That's what I'm talking about. You try your best wherever you are to live that standard you believe ought to be lived. For yourself and the God you serve. That's what I'm talking about. For yourself. And you can have them very real conversations with God. So, you know, some God, I don't like them. I don't know what I could do about it. I don't know what. I don't. Help me, please. I am so impatient, Lord. I don't know. I want to be more patient, but I don't know. I'm so impatient, Lord. You know, Father, I can't get this thing out of my head, out of my mind. I'm just angry, so angry all the time about this. Help me. That's real. That's being real. And you could be real like that, but people, listen to me. This is not a good time to talk to me. I ain't gonna lie to you. Please. I am only warning you. I'm telling you, this is not a good time. Please. So if you see me acting a little funny, little kind of way, I'm sorry, but this ain't a good time. And I just wanted to let you know. It ain't a good time. Okay? So if it could wait, please let it wait. It's all you could do, all I can do. Our very best. You're listening to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're gonna take a break for news, and when we come back, I wanna talk to you about a couple of things in the news. The things in the news. We'll be back after this news break.
Through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this challenging and interesting Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Every time we have occasion for these storms, we end up having discussions about some perennial issues, namely flooding. And I heard the gentleman on the news say, you know, that the flooding has happened, been happening, especially in the Pinewood area, for a long time. There's other areas in which flooding happens as well. Many areas. If you go in the Chippenham area, there are areas of Chippenham where significant flooding happens. Down there in the Kentucky area there by Saunders Beach, Paul Track, lots of flooding happens around that area as well, including around that bend there by West Bay Street. And of course, in the east, New Providence, flooding takes place. And then other areas and other islands in the country. So flooding happens, right? You know, the gentleman said, you know, these MPs, they don't care about anybody. They only care about themselves. That's a standard line that's played, you know, standard line, right? No member of parliament individually can address flooding. Even if a member of parliament appeals to the government about the matter of flooding, it is for the government to determine what actions are to be taken. And I understand the emotional reaction to the flooding. I understand that. But I'm sorry, I'm not going to rest there. I'm not going to sit there because you have an emotional response to it. Because I understand your home is one of the worst things. I have a flooded house. You say, oh, you don't know nothing but that. I don't know nothing but that. I had to renovate a whole house because Dorian flooded mine. So don't tell me nothing, but I don't know nothing. I know how high, six feet in the house did the water come. So don't get on your high horse talking about y'all don't know nothing but what we's go through. Talking nonsense. You don't know other people's lives. You don't know, right? But the question for us is, so we don't have hurricanes all year round. We have hurricanes during a particular period of time. We can have heavy rains outside of the hurricane season too that can cause flooding. For all the time that I have been in office, for the 10 years I've been in office, what I have never been able to ascertain is this. Is there a way to prevent the flooding of these islands when there's heavy rain pouring down and there is the what do they call that spring, whatever that spring water coming up from the ocean. When the two of those meet, is there any way to remedy that problem? I don't know. I'm not saying there isn't. I don't know. And who else knows? Right? I know some people who say they know some people who know. I know some people who my Google search, my AI search for what others may have done. I don't know the extent to which the government of the Bahamas has had the brightest and most expert minds come and look at the situation and say, there's really nothing you can do about this, but you may be able to mitigate it to this extent. But if you're going to have a wet hurricane pouring tons and tons of water on a land, and then the sea flooding rising to meet that water coming down, who can do something about that is the question. I don't know. This is how this... See, I think some of the frustration of citizens is that they don't think that we have tried everything. They don't think that we have really focused and tried to answer the things. The Ingram administration attempted to do some things. The Christie administration said they were going to do right down there in Pinewood. Right down there. They had the Army Corps of Engineers come down and look at the matter and try to assess what could be done. I don't know. You know? But I think we have to be more mature about this stuff. I mean, about it, you know? I mean, on all sides. The leadership side and the public side. Right? Now, you know it's going to happen, right? The flood is going to happen. And the government is going to mobilize and we're going to have to see how that mobilizing happens. I'm all in my tongue. I am really all in my tongue. This afternoon, Southern Shores on the upcoming by. Man, I have no thoughts about the by-election, man. No. Oh, no, no. No, you can't ask Chivago Lang with that now. You can't. You can't me? You don't know me well enough to know you can't ask me that now? Wow. No, man. We gotta have more regard for people's life than that. No. I have no thoughts about that right now. At least not no thoughts I'm prepared to be talking about on right now. Like that. Wow. I suspect that even if we found solutions to our flooding, and the flooding ain't just in your area, bro. It's just all kinds of other places. The dollar amount that might be attached to that, it would be significant. And it is possible to do it in a way where it may actually provide some new opportunities for something else. Also, but there'll be dollars attached to it. And they'll have to tax us for it. No, they necessarily have to tax you for it. They could divert the money from other things and do it. But what remains unanswered is whether or not sufficient focus and thought has gone into it to answer the question, if something could be done, what would that something be? I don't know that such a thing has happened. I really don't know. I don't know. Says, what I don't like about the current narrative is the messaging that this is a, in quote, storm, nothing we could do. I reject that. The first thing we could do is prevent filling in of swamp land. Just a few months ago, someone was allowed to cut down an entire 20-foot hill in Fox Hill, right down to the flooded street. We could mandate water runoff areas for every community. That area by Go Slow Bend is a sinkhole. Any heavy rain, don't let the ocean overtop the seawall. I don't know who's saying it's a storm. I don't know who's saying that. But if that's what they're saying, my point is, I don't know the answer. I don't know if there is nothing that can be done. And it seems to me, neither do you. You are giving some suggestions. Right? Because I know some things that were tried in Pinewood Gardens apparently didn't solve the problem. So you're giving some suggestions. They sound reasonable enough. But would they solve the problem in a storm? You say it's a storm. You know, storms are different. Some storms are fast with plenty of wind and a little bit of rain. Some storms are slow with plenty of rain and a little bit of wind. So storms are different. Every storm is not the same. So, you know, I'm game for listening to the suggestions. I'm game for saying that that you can't say it's a storm, so nothing can be done. But I'm also game for, I don't know. Do you? Do you really, really know? Why do you know? Like, why do you know? Because if you know, shouldn't we? I'm for this. Prime Minister, get this person and pay them, or don't pay them if they don't want to be paid. Get them to fix the problem. Why wouldn't we get you to run the thing that would fix it? That's what I'm saying. If you know, I don't know. Because many of us, it happens very regularly. We have these very, all has to be done, all has to be done. We are all so certain. Why are we so certain? Why are we so certain about things not proven, not studied, where we don't evidence the reason for our certainty? Why? I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know. But again, a part of the frustration you may feel is what I'm saying, which is because there isn't the belief that an exhaustive attention has been paid to the matter, then, you know, you don't buy what anybody else is doing. And, you know, we human beings are like this. Today, it's the flood because the storm is here. Today, it's the flood because the flood is here. And then when it dries up and we are out there by Arawaki partying or out there by the dock partying or in some disco partying or by some friends partying, watching the football games, etc. And it dry. Anybody thinking about this? A politician and not thinking about it because you ain't thinking about it because you ain't complaining about it. Because there's no ongoing planning unit anywhere doing mitigation scenario exercises, simulation exercises, trying to apply themselves to the resolution of problems that aren't in our faces at the moment. That's how we live too often. It ain't in our face right now, child, like Chaya chewing, eating my soup. That's what I'm doing, child. I ain't no worry about no flood because ain't no flood around here. Then when the flood reach, everybody on the flood. So this text is, now I wasn't saying that you were suggesting there's nothing we could do. It's what I've heard over the course of the day. I'm suggesting exactly what you're saying now. And as I said this morning, we need data on this storm and others, their patterns and why this area versus that flooded. That's what I'm doing. I'm with you 100%. That's what I'm saying. We don't know, right? We don't know. So I'm with you. Let's get in the know, man. Listen, I am not criticizing the Davis administration. I'm not criticizing the Minnesota administration, the Christie or the Ingram or anybody administration. But to the extent that none has done this, well, hey, it is what it is. The government of the Bahamas, going forward, ought to have a line item in the budget for genuine and authentic planning. And the line item needs to be populated with millions. I believe that you as a taxpayer would pay millions to have planning, mitigation, scenario exercises done in relation to your national security, in relation to your public health, in relation to your safety, in relation to your infrastructure, public infrastructure, in relation to your disaster management, in relation to your education and so forth. That's the job. Go plan. Now, you are not going to hire enough people for that. So you just are talking about having a core set of people that are managing a exercise of purchasing that planning, the professional planning narrative, right? And we got places all over the world, including at home, where we can have AI-assisted planning in that regard. We could pay for that. We could plug in the problems, the challenges, the data that's available, and we could ask the AI-assisted, developed application to spit us out some scenarios, some solutions. Combined with all the human expertise and what I can cost you millions, well, why would you not want to pay millions to fix problems that aren't in your face today, so that when they get in your face, they aren't in your face no more, or they've been mitigated sufficiently for you to manage? Why would we want to do that? You know why? Because we are so inclined toward pandering to the immediate nuisances of a people, so inclined toward reactionary panderings. I don't say we don't do some planning. We do some planning, but it's marginal. It is marginal. And I ain't asking nobody. We do some. The road improvement program that Ingram catch all that hell about, that was part of a planning exercise, having used the data to figure out what the current usage of the road network was and what the future usage is likely to be and what would be necessary to alleviate the buildup in traffic over time. That was part of planning, but that's one element of it. Always project related. That's how we do it, project related. As opposed to planning as a function of governance. Where you going today? Oh, I'm going to plan. What you mean? Oh, that's what my unit, that's what we do. We plan for. Yeah, but ain't no fire happening down on Paradise Island, downtown today. No, but we won't catch the fire before the fire start. Really? Yeah, that's what we're doing. So we have some expertise coming in from throughout Nassau, and we are looking at and scenarioing out if this happened and that happened, what might be the mitigating exercise we could do to ensure that it isn't as impactful as it could otherwise be. Wow. And you do that every day? Yeah, every day. That's my job. I'm one of the government's planners. Wow, for real? Really? You said, well, why wouldn't the PS do that? PSs are busy trying to enforce and execute what the government trying to do. They're supposed to be executing what the planners develop. So you can't blame them.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing, Shivaka?
Hey, right there, man. What's happening? You safe? You're dry?
Yes. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that. I know that you're safe as well because you're on with us. Don't say anything, Shivaka. Let me just extend my heartfelt condolences in the recent loss of Cabinet Minister, Member of Parliament, Minister Vaughan Miller, to his wife and to their family, and to the wider family and supporters of Mr. Miller, and on the political side and the religious realm throughout the country, and to people of goodwill in the country. Today, we mourn his loss. And so I wanted to acknowledge that. But I also called too, because what you're talking about, Chicago, is such an important topic. It forced me to come out and call today. I've given much thought to what you were talking about years and years ago, back 97, 98, 99 in particular, was when I was giving a lot of thought to this. And what I came to the conclusion of, we certainly lack a national urban development plan, right? Not only for New Providence, the capital, but for all of the family islands to ensure at minimal level we don't make the same mistakes that we made with planning and execution and how our family islands are developed and the cost of the development and the cost of access to real estate, right? A lot of things are muddled up in that realm of urban development planning. But to address specifically what you were speaking to right now, Shivaka, cost is a major problem. Capitalism is a second tier of a major problem involved in this. Affordability is another major aspect of what is locked, stocked, and barreled in the outcome of what you are talking about. Because first and foremost, we are surrounded by sea for the most part, right? We are an island nation surrounded by water, right? Where we have also another challenge being the low level of our islands, right?
But Anton, this is where, this is why the planning.
I'm coming to the solution, by the way.
No, but Anton, you're going to evolve there over time. So let me make this intervention, right? Because you're saying something that is actually at conflict with planning. Because this is the nature of planning. You don't know what the cost for anything is going to be. You've never, ever done it. Okay,
no,
that's the first thing.
That's not what I'm saying, you know, Chicago.
But you're saying that you don't know that is a problem because you haven't costed anything out. Secondly, another part of the planning function is financing. Once you know the cost, you then ask the question, how do we finance it?
Mm-hmm.
And because all financing isn't at a point in time. Financing can be stretched out over time. That's what we call capital planning.
If I could just finish my point, though, Shivaka, so you could appreciate where I'm coming from first before you seek to analyze what I'm saying.
So let me give you a rule. I'm going to give you a rule for when you are now, seriously, because somebody else is on the line waiting. That's the caller. You have to tighten it up for me, because if I listen to you, and I don't intervene at a point, you go on for so long, I may miss being able to intervene.
That's
and
not
I
a
think
problem,
it's necessary.
That's not a problem. Okay, so carrying on, right? As I'm saying, we already know, even from the government level, Shivago, the cost for billing what is called, and not really in reality, low-cost phones, is expensive. We already know that. So we're already working from a minimal point when we look at what the government of the Bahamas is doing, in particular right now under this Davis administration, where a local can run you anywhere between $200,000 to $230,000. And that's with government giving a lot away in the process, a whole lot away. So if we look at private sector, which will not give those costs away, we know that the cost is going to be exponentially higher. We're working from that platform to begin with. We are an island nation surrounded by water. We operate at a very low point within our country with very few hills. Therefore, the runoff of water is going to be difficult without pumps continually running that water out to water, that excess buildup of water, especially in the face of king tides, which we have a lot of, which we can't avoid. With a king tide, no matter what well mechanism you have, when that king tide comes up, if that water level is already above your level of roads and development, you have an issue. The only other thing you can do is continuously run that water off with a pump, right? Which is a massive, expensive system. Outside of that, Shivago, the only other thing that you could do with your execution of planning is build your properties up, build your roads up so high that they can absorb the level of water that is going to come at our low-lying levels across the entire country and across the entire Commonwealth of the Bahamas, outside of Cat Island and one or two other places, which have...
So, and I have another call on the line. Appreciate it. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Lai. I hope you're doing well. I hope Grand Bahama is faring well in regards to this tropical storm. Again, my condolences to the Miller family, the Max Sweeney family. I think there was a Thurston guy too who passed to one of those families. But my question is, Mr. Lai, every year the government pays some $60, $70 million out in consultancy fees. In 5 years' time, 5, 6, or 30, that's $300 million that we would have paid in consultancy fees. I know this is across the whole spectrum of governments, the government and, I guess, political appointees and whatnot. So what these consultants, these includes people locally, internationally, are they consultants?
They're a variety of people, and they're doing a variety of things. Sometimes what government is calling consulting fees is really some contract worker that they have engaged to actually work doing regular jobs, right? But they just contracted you, right? This is not you're an expert in a particular high expert in a particular area, and I've engaged you for this. That's not all of that money is not those kinds of people, even though those kinds of people exist in that as well.
I see. Well, I mean, I come to realize that some of this is some of the contractual or the...
Yeah, a lot of it is, actually. A lot of it is. Not political only, but just I'm saying people who are doing technical things or working in ministries, really partly doing assigning to some political mission. And by mission, I mean some project or program the government wants to see executed and feels like that person could better manage it and so forth, right? So that kind of thing. I mean, at one point, Michael Pintard was a consultant in the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture. Mm-hmm. And he wrote programs and stuff in the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture.
So with this issue with the flooding things, I know we had a national development plan that looked at the use of land and so on, where to build and so on and so forth, where not to build. And things that, see, I think because we don't really plan, you know,
You're in a little different space now with respect to town planning in that area because of the new Town Planning Act. But a lot of the problems where the flooding exists are places where homes have been built for years and years. So it's not a. This is not your most recently constructed places. I'm not saying some of them aren't there, but this is lots and lots of legacy issues and building that really have been in this situation for a long time.
You know, Mr. Light, I think if the fella who was in prison could get the drone to bring him a cell phone, man, I'm sure we could solve private problems.
And that's the point. That's the point, isn't it? Is that whether we have actually applied sufficient attention to be able to say satisfactorily, this is as much as we could do. And so we can do that. And I mean, we're not going to get it all resolved, but we can do that because this is as much as we could do based on all the effort that we have made to understand the problem.
You know, I'm going to go right now, but my assistant pastor said something on our radio program, The Morning Watch, on Thursday morning. You know, because we are such an, an archipelago, and government has so much responsibilities, it's so many things.
That's an advantage for you, and it's a disadvantage for you, right? So you can't complain about the one and not the other. All that means, though, is that you have to pay a special attention to your planning, right? Under all facets of your planning. There's no planning that doesn't consider your costs, doesn't consider your financing, doesn't consider your strategic challenges and all that kind of stuff. So all of that comes into it. But if you ain't doing that, I don't even know that you could tell me you're taking advantage of being an archipelago or getting the streams of it.
So do we have a planning unit
There used to be this thing in the Ministry of Finance called Planning Unit, but it was more a narrow set of looking at fiscal things, not planning in the broadest sense.
Do we still have the delivery unit in the government?
I think there is. I think there's a delivery unit. I think that's what Jerome Fitzgerald does. He runs that unit.
So do they report to the people or just to the prime minister?
I think to the government. They monitor and track the government's projects and programs and promises and try to assess where things are. I think that's what they do produce a report. I mean, I've seen a report from Vianna Gardner when she was there.
That was in the last administration, eh?
Yeah, I haven't seen one this time around. That domain one doesn't exist. I know I've seen that one before. Yeah,
but Mrs. Lang, if you ain't see it,
but there are things I don't see that exist. Know what I mean? I don't want to say it doesn't exist.
Yeah, but we need to know what's going on. It's almost time.
I will ask Mr. Fitzgerald when I get a chance.
Okay, sir.
Yeah, man. Take care. This text is good afternoon. Somehow I missed your call several days ago. I don't know that's a different story. It says, hi Z, it's a strange, somewhat somber kind of day, but we still have to hold on to the blessed hope as we pray unceasingly to be ready. Yes. As you said, tomorrow is not promised. That is for sure. Planning is not a fix-all, but it certainly allows us to move with more certainty in the things that we are doing. And government, when you get, see, let me tell you something. If you go in government and you are not crystal clear on the things that you want to go and be about now. If you're not, the inertia of government, The busy activities of government, necessary busy activities of government, could occupy your time all day, and you'll feel like you're doing a lot, but you ain't doing nothing but the things that you've determined to do because you ain't had no clarity about those things. Now, you could also have clarity about things you want to do, but they may be disconnected from the real challenges and problems and ambitions of your people. So you could be flying up and down. You could be running up and down. You could be busy away at this and that and the next thing. And you say, oh, look, I did this and I did that and the next thing. And people say, yeah, but bro, I still dealing with the flood. I still dealing with hunger. I still dealing with this. And nothing has happened to impact their lives. So the crystal clarity has to be both about what to do and why to do it as to itself. That's the neat trick of governance. To have enough courage to want to actually measure whether you are having an impact on them people's lives. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Z, man. How you doing? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Yourself?
Man, you need a boat. You need either a jet ski or, you know, one of them little rubber rods with your blow up, one of them with the paddles on it, or probably one little tin engine on the back. Boy, get some water on you. Yeah, I got to try going to leave with the bamboo down, just now going to East Street, like Porky's gas station, and man, the water. The Chinese over there can't even open. Super volume, book out, all Saint Shanks around there, but 3 feet of water. But I see what the meteorologists say, that this more rain than Dorian in Nassau. Yeah, buddy.
I it may well be, but because I know, but buddies, because, you know, well, Dorian was more so the flooding from the water, the sea.
Yeah, rain. We had more rain, and then, like they say, this is at least but 8 to 10 inches of rain. But yeah,
y'all had sea, y'all had wind, and in Freeport they had wind. But you know, what flooded the place in Grand Bahama was
the sea coming with a tsunami like that.
Yeah,
but what I call you for is you being a former parliamentarian or cabinet minister and everything. Is there a requirement to have a physical done before you run for office or you becoming a potential MP?
If I have
stage 3 prostate cancer, can I run?
There is no physical requirement. There is nothing in the Constitution that disqualifies a person on the basis of health.
Okay.
So all the qualifications and disqualifications for being a candidate on MP is in the Constitution.
So you think
none of them are in one now? Well, I mean, I think it's a fair question. Like, even in the United States, it isn't mandatory that you submit health submit a health checkup. Many of the presidential candidates and the presidents do it as a matter of course. So
right.
You know, you could have it as law. Or you could have it as a candidate.
Yeah, I think you should implement it. Because if you go back to the late Dr. B.J. Norwich, he had the prostate and he wanted to run again too. But then he died, he'd have died in office. So, and then it would have cost the government money, it would have buy election and this and that. So, you know.
Well, the only way I think should be a disqualifier is if somebody can say you're likely to die before you your term is up. Like, when is that going to happen?
Yeah, but if you're smart enough, like, my condolences goes out to the Miller family, but if you're smart enough, like Mr. Miller, he said he didn't want it to run again because then he had health issues. At least if you're smart, you do it. But some will still go and do it, and then it will cost the government and the country money.
I hear you, brother.
Yeah.
Appreciate you calling. Yeah. Thanks, man. It says, Mr. Lang, MPs are government. They are elected or fit representatives who help shape and implement national policy, and they are the government. That's not true. That's not true. You are not correct on your understanding of the structure of government. The general direction and control of the government belongs to the cabinet. There is the cabinet, the senators and members of parliament that are selected by the prime minister to sit in the cabinet. And so you could be a member of parliament. Your job is making laws. You cannot blame a member of parliament for an infrastructure project that doesn't happen. That's absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. You would be unfair and unreasonable to do such a thing. Because if you're an independent member of parliament, you cannot make the government do anything. You can advocate, agitate for it as members of parliament, even those who are in the government's party, and you could still have nothing done. That is unfair and untrue, and you are wrong. The member of parliament is not the government. You are dead wrong. They are one branch of government, and that matters. That's like saying because the judiciary is a branch of government, you should blame them too for the infrastructure. That's nonsense talk. Infrastructural development in the country belongs to the executive. That is the cabinet of the Bahamas. The job of the parliament is to approve funding for them. That's the job of the cabinet, the parliament. One of their jobs, to pass a law approving their allocation in the course of a fiscal year based on what they submit to the parliament. All right? So don't try to lecture me on these are very basic things. A member of parliament should be mindful, attentive to the things happening in his or her constituency, should advocate for it, but you can't blame no member of parliament for what doesn't happen if it's not in his or her power to do it alone. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody.
As a healthcare professional, you dedicate your life to caring for others. But even with the best care, legal challenges can arise. Protect your practice and your peace of mind with medical malpractice insurance from Star General. At Star General, we've partnered with Lloyd's of London to bring you comprehensive professional liability insurance designed specifically for those consulting or practicing privately. Visit our website today so you can focus on what you do best, caring for your patients, while we take care of the rest. Star General, insurance made simple.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
This October, Bahama invites to Culinary and Arts Festival, where world-class flavors meet breathtaking creativity in the heart of the Bahamas. Join us October 22nd through 26th for an unforgettable celebration featuring culinary legends Marcus Samuelson, Dario Cicchini, Simeon Hall Jr., and Scott Conant, alongside a vibrant lineup of chefs and mixologists. Explore captivating art installations, interactive workshops, and live performances, all set against the stunning backdrop of Nassau's premier luxury resort. From curated tasting events to beachfront feasts and immersive gallery experiences, this is more than a festival. It's a feast for the soul. Tickets and packages are going fast. Visit Bahamar.com to reserve your spot at the Culinary and Arts Festival at Bahamar, where taste and talent take center stage.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
in the face of stress buildings that get tested. It's all us. Insurance isn't just about repair, it's about recovery. So when the winds die down, you're already on the path forward. Having insurance can mean the difference between starting over and starting stronger. So talk to an authorized agent or broker of Bahamas First General Insurance about how the right coverage can support you through this season and whatever comes next. With Bahamas First, you're in safe hands in all seasons.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful but challenging Monday afternoon. Glad you could join us for these remaining moments of the show. This text says, good evening. Why does 2025 have a better drainage system? What's a better drainage system? What's the current drainage system and what's a better one? What's a better one look like? And why do you say, why doesn't it have a better one? Because you're saying the flooding situation is a function of the drainage system. That's what you're saying. That's the reason why we're having, it's all drainage. So you're sure a proper drainage system would eradicate this particular problem. That's what you're saying. And I don't know. I'm asking because you're the one who's asking, right? Well, if there is a better drainage system to be had and you don't have one because the government of the Bahamas hasn't given you one. That's the reason. No other reason than that. The various administrations of the government of the Bahamas have not given you a better drainage system. That's the reason. Why don't you have a better public education system? Because the government of the Bahamas that is responsible for the public education system hasn't given you one. Why don't you have higher taxes? Because the government of the Bahamas taxes. That's the reason. Anything that is the responsibility of any group or person, if you don't have it, it's because of them. That's how it goes. Now, the question is, why haven't they done it? You have to ask them. You'll have to ask them. So, Mr. Lang, your statement was that MPs are not the government. That's factually incorrect because they are the legislative branch of government. Well, you can't know. See, bro, that's, you know, not the government. You're right. Go right ahead. How could, if you are part of something, how could you be the thing? I mean, come on, that's just basic logic. And if you are not responsible for something, why do I blame you for that thing? If you want to go on, if you want to continue blaming MPs for stuff, go right ahead, bro. Don't mind me. Don't mind what I tell you. Carry right on. Data government. Keep carrying on. I can tell you this much, though. Ignorance of a thing and ridiculous notions about something doesn't help you get any further. It's like you're blaming the sun, a fire that was caused by a person. Blaming the sun, anger, you can do that. You're free to do that. That don't help you solve the problem. So if you want to blame MPs, please carry right on. But don't argue with me about stuff I know to be the fact. MPs are not the government. No more than the judiciary. Why don't you call me and tell me the judiciary is the government? And if the judiciary is the government, why don't you blame them for your infrastructure? Because the judiciary is also a branch of government. Oh, man. Stubborn, strong, and wrong. That's a terrible combination. Just learn and move on. This is one of the challenges we have, you know. Boy, your MPs, you know, keep taking these licks, boy. Keep taking these licks as long as you keep pretending to people that you could do everything and get everything done. Keep doing it. I see a candidate. I see some candidates. You know how you're starting off your campaign? Giving out this, giving out that, doing this, doing that, doing the next thing. Giving people the wrong impression of the job that you have. But keep it up. Keep it up. Light up. We have a call out of the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, sir, how you doing?
Yes, sir. You know, hey, you know they say, hey, whatever you do to get a girl, you got to do to keep a girl. You ever hear that?
Yes, sir. You're right about
that.
All
right, then.
Hey.
All right.
But and that's a good line where you can start off too from. Because while I am well aware of what a MP job is,
mm-hmm.
but let some flooding happen in this in their constituency, and they don't try to do something about it, and see what happens in the next election.
Well, you know, question.
So while they know
but
what the job of an MP is, in our minds, we not. There are some other things that we want to be responsible for.
Yeah, I understand. But I understand that anytime you have somebody who is a leadership in your community, you can look to them for help with anything in that community. But that is entirely different. That is entirely different being that it is something they can do. That's
okay.
Different, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is.
Well, that's all I'm talking about. It's one thing to say, man, I expect you to go advocate for flood remediation. That's one thing. But you and I both know, if you're an independent MP, you could advocate till you die. Can you do anything without the government?
No, you cannot.
That's the only point I make, bro.
Hey, but
and
on the same side, right?
And the government in this regard is who?
The cabinet.
The PLP. No, the cabinet. So it could be the cabinet. The cabinet.
Yeah. So,
right?
But you know what made it worse, right?
Uh-huh.
In terms of how people see it? When a former cabinet minister responsible for local government said, giving local government in Nassau to the people will take responsibility from them. So he is saying that that's their responsibility to go through the street
right.
and do this and do that.
You know why? You know why? Uh-huh. Because there are many, there are MPs who could be ignorant as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Ignorant about what their own jobs are. Did you not hear me? Candidates are out there giving out this and giving out that and giving out the next thing. Like, that's the job.
Yeah.
All right, keep it up, though.
Yeah.
Keep it up. I'm telling you, keep it up.
I agree with you, yeah. Okay.
You know what's coming, right?
Yes.
When you get elected, if you get elected, what do you think people can do after that?
And you can't stop neither, because once you get elected, people continue looking.
In fact, you gotta do more because you're MP now.
Yes, you have to. Yes.
Right? We should speak sensibly and reasonably to our constituents. Listen, man.
I totally agree.
My job first is legislator, but. Mm-hmm. Of course, I understand I have to be here for you in all the challenges and opportunities you can have. So I'm going to do that to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
But I ain't no Santa Claus, and I want you to know what I can and I cannot do. So every time you have a flood, I'm going to the Minister of Public Works, and I'm saying, bro, let me explain something to you. You see these people down here? They are flooding out. They are flooding out, and they're looking for answers.
Yeah.
I have gone and searched out some people myself who I think can do something about it, X, Y, and Z. So you do whatever you could do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, not a ditch would be dug without the government doing it.
You're right. It's just a lie.
That's right.
But this is what's the best time for the people, especially now with all of these different things going on, and you have so much candidates out there. So at the end of the day, come election, our people should have no need for that because the candidates, they are themselves. And so we
everybody should be everybody should be straight. Everybody should be straight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's see how that goes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I hope you have a great evening. God's best life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great one.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever.